We're back in the New Testament. Last year we studied Joshua, and it took several months getting through that. And then we went short things in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And now we're going to all the beginning of last year we studied. Well, the end of 2022 and the beginning of 2023 we studied the book of Matthew, and we're going to go to another gospel. We've done some Pauline and Peter letters, Luke, chapter 1, the book of Luke. What do you know about Luke?
Doctor.
Investigative reporter.
He's a detail. Probably, yeah, he's got a lot of detail.
He's an investigative reporter, too.
Investigative reporter. I like that because I think that's, think about it, the whole book of Acts. So he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. The book of Acts, it reads like a newspaper.
Yeah.
And then they went to the next town and here's what happened. I mean, it's kind of like following the Beatles in the 1960s across the United States. So it's like a newspaper, a reporter given a thing. And The book of Luke, the gospel, is a little bit like that. Anything else? Do you know who he wrote Luke to? Any ideas? Because we've talked about it. Like Matthew was to Jews. They never called it the kingdom of God. When at all the other gospels, when Jesus talks about the kingdom, he calls it the kingdom of God. But they don't say kingdom of God anywhere, not one single time in the book of Matthew. They call it the kingdom of heaven because for Jews, they didn't say God. They didn't call God. They didn't say it. Didn't call him by name, Jehovah or Yahweh or anything like that. So any ideas about who Luke was written to? Because it has a bearing on some things.
Theophilus?
To what, Sagan? Theophilus.
Theophilus. Okay,
Theos and Phileo, friend of God. And we'll get to that. I'll say more about that in just a second. He technically, it looks like he wrote it maybe to one guy. And we'll get to that in a second. He doesn't have very much Aramaic in there, which is what the rest of the Bible, when they quote Jesus saying things, there's a lot of Aramaic, which was like a Syrian language or something like that. It's a native language that everybody spoke. They also spoke Hebrew, and most everybody spoke Greek. So he writes this in perfect Greek. The style of writing is like a Greek novel or something like that. I mean, think of stuff that was written by Plato and Socrates and stuff like that. He wrote a lot like that in his structure and all those kind of things. And when he quotes the Bible, he doesn't quote it in Hebrew. He quotes, and the word, it's all written in Greek. But the way the words are all arranged and everything, and the particular words for things like hell, Gehenna, or when he refers to, he doesn't call the hill where Jesus is crucified, he doesn't call it Golgotha, which is the Hebrew name. He calls it Calvary. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. Which is the Greek name. When he quotes out of the Bible, he quotes out of the Septuagint. You'll see that written in your Bible, LXX, which means is the Roman numerals for 70. And they call the Septuagint the work of the 70 because 70 Hebrew scholars put it together in Greek. So it's the Greek translation of the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, into Greek, and they called it the Septuagint, and a lot of people use that Bible, and especially believers who weren't Jewish. You know, there are people that believed in God, believed in the Hebrew God, and followed the Hebrew religion. In fact, in a lot of places, it says he was a friend of God. When it talks about the Roman centurion and some of those different people, he was a friend of God. Those are people that believed and followed the Jewish faith system. And is that all right to call it a faith system? They followed that, but they were from another heritage, like the Romans. The Roman centurion, they think, was probably one of the Germanic tribes that had come down there and was a leader. Luke is written to non-Jewish believers. And he also, pay attention to how many times he kind of spotlights the outcast. Because all of the Samaritan story, the stories that involve Samaritans, they're all in the book of Luke. And Samaritan was an outcast. Women are spotlighted. Even when the story of Jesus' birth has several women in it that aren't spotlighted like they are everywhere else. And we're going to see three of those tonight. And to non-Jewish believers, kind of follows in the footsteps of Paul in his ministry, because Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles. And so Luke is kind of following after him. If I say a wrong word, y'all just call out. You mean, I don't mean Peter, I mean Paul. Y'all just straighten it out, all right? Okay, so there's a lot just in these first three, four verses. Starting with verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. Okay. Many. Who's the many he's referring to? Obviously, there's at least two others that he's referring to that have been put down. Probably at the time that he's writing, there's already Gospels being circulated, Matthew and Mark. It's very likely that because 60% of what's in Luke is in Mark. There's only 40% that came from somewhere else. Mark has every bit of Luke in it, or all 60% of part of Luke in it. So does that make sense? Okay. So many, but there are probably other people that wrote stuff down too.
Demas.
Yeah. There were a lot. Some of them were lost. Some of them just didn't make it into the canon because they decided that only first generation believers were going to be a part of the canon, a part of the Bible that we have. Says that he's taken to, I want to call your attention, taken in hand to set in order a narrative. What Pam said about being a doctor and being good with detail and all that kind of stuff, why do you think she pointed that out? Because that's what she is. She pays attention to detail. But he's set in order a narrative. Not necessarily in chronological order, but an order that he thinks is fitting. Verse 2, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Just as those delivered them to us, the eyewitnesses. So he's saying all of them have to do with eyewitnesses. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. We'll talk about that in a second. That word from the very first is anothen. That's the Greek word. And everywhere in Scripture, it is everywhere else. Only here is it from the very first. Everywhere else, it's either from above, like in authority, that it comes from God, or it's translated the top or again. And here,
this says the official beginning of Jesus' ministry.
From the very first.
Official business.
Okay.
To Jesus' ministry.
That's not indicated by the word. I'm just pointing that out. And that's why I'm calling attention to it here. But, yeah. But, and the point that I think that it's making there is that he wasn't there in the beginning, obviously. He wasn't in the building when Jesus was born. So he wasn't there from the very first of Jesus' life. But apparently, and I think that he was there, a disciple in the... He wasn't one of the 12 disciples, but he was in Jesus' ministry from the fairly early outset. And I don't think it matters whether he was... It doesn't matter at all. He's here. His account has been vetted time and again. They used to pick on the birth thing about the Caesar Augustus and the census that was taken. There was a bunch of errors that were found that Quirinius, all the numbers were wrong and not lining up, because what Quirinius, the census that Quirinius was over didn't happen till 8 AD. And this the census had to happen. It's in the wrong time. And they found in Egypt just about 100 years ago, they found in Egypt a thing about Quirinius being governor, that there's either two Quiriniuses, Quirinii? There's two Quiriniuses, or the same Quirinius was governor two different times. And there were two different censuses. And that, isn't that awesome? That things about the Bible that you think, that somebody's saying, throw the whole thing out because this is wrong. And then you find out a few years later, no, it's right. The archaeological evidence supports it. I just think that's awesome. I had to share it. Y'all may not appreciate it. Theophilus. Theophilus means Theo is God and Philos is friend. So it's friend of God. God's friend. It could be that it's his actual name, and it could also mean that it is either or refers to a person who is just a friend of God. It could have been the Roman centurion that was a friend of God, or it could be a whole class of people. And he's writing it to all the friends of God. And the same is it true of Acts. He refers to him in the first chapter of Acts too. So, but it doesn't really matter. But the point is that he wrote it for people who love God and tells how Jesus is a part of that whole story of God loving man from the very beginning. He writes it that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. I rest my case. I want it to be an encouragement to us, and that's why I want to bring in things like the different Quiriniuses, and because we have such a tide of common thought that the Bible is kind of getting wiped out by scientific thought and all those kind of things, and it's just not true. In fact, science, over and over again, right, when we understand science better, it actually proves God. Certain things are proven by it. So I want you to hold on to that you may know the certainty of those things in which you instructed. All you guys, the stuff we've been taught in Sunday school and children's church and by our parents and by our grandma and all that kind of stuff, it is certain as far as God is concerned. So John's, the next passage is about John the Baptist and his birth. Where do you think that might have come from? Yeah, Jesus' mother, Mary, who was the cousin to John's mom, She knew that story. She's in the middle of it. So let's start right there. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea. Judea comes, remember what family that came from? What son of Abraham was that from?
Judah.
Judah, right. From the tribe of Judah, correct. David was from that same tribe. Jesus is also referred to son of David, but that's also a son of Judah. And Judea is named after that. Do you know what the German word for Jews is? Juden, a Judean or a Judahan. And I think it's funny that all Jews are called after Jesus' family. Now, all Jews are. I felt led to share that. In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So he's of the sons of, they're both Aaronic. They're both from Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. They were good guys, right? Good Jewish believers. But they had no child. Uh-oh, what does that mean? What does everybody else think of them because of that?
Shame.
Because that was a mark on, it was a mark, kind of like a mark of character. Well, you must have done something.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have ever run into Christian people that were that way? When somebody suffered hardship, well, they must have done something. You just know that gossip went around because of that. To God they were blameless, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving, they're unlucky, right? They're cursed as far as most people are concerned. While he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, they round robin when you'd get to serve in the temple, in the actual temple yourself. And you would take care of the flame and the Holy of Holies and all that kind of stuff. According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell. So he was drawn out of a hat or whatever happened. Lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So this old guy in his very old age, maybe one of the last opportunities that he would have because of his age, finally gets called and he's going to go in and he's going to get to burn incense in the Holy of Holies. When you went into the Holy of Holies, they tied a rope around you because nobody could go in there and get you. Only one person could go in one time a year. They would drag you. If you had a heart attack and died in there or something, they'd drag you out with that rope. And so, okay, that's the picture. Then an angel of the Lord, okay, and the whole multitude, where is it? Oh, verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Whoa. And when Zacharias saw him, what do you think? He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Underline that in your Bible right there, highlight, whatever. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay, stop right there. So he was cursed one verse ago, and then now he's blessed because a lot fell on him to get to go in. Somebody's waited for his whole life. And it doesn't say how old he is. He might only be 50. I don't know. He might not be. He might just be a kid still.
Well, if it was 50, that would have been retirement for his job.
Maybe so.
They were advanced in years
They're advancing years enough that.
I think there's a thing in the Levitical law. I think he couldn't be more than 50.
Okay. Well, he is advanced so far that having a baby is pretty much out of the question. That is the point.
Like Abraham.
Yeah.
We know what happened there.
And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, especially two people.
I wonder if the angel put that lot there for him to get.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't by chance.
God, Romans 8:28 did it.
Yeah.
He worked it all together for his good. He come in the spirit and power of Elijah, which means, I mean, he wasn't Elijah. Some people thought he might be Elijah, but he wasn't Elijah. He was the type of Elijah, so which is a prophet of old speaking redemption. They talked about the prophets like they were all doom and gloom. How many times have you heard that? They were all doom and gloom, doom and gloom. Only part of their message was doom and gloom, because that's what happens. But they're all of them had redemption is possible if you'll turn to the Lord. Just like we, Malachi 4:6 is when it talks about turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. That's from Malachi. But just like we saw in Zephaniah these past few weeks, remember that the whole third chapter was all about redemption, and God will take care of those who turn. And so he says in verse 18. Zacharias said to the angel, we're right here, said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my life is well advanced in years. Now, we all know what Mary said to the angel. What did Mary say? No. Before she said that,
she said,
how can this be? I've not ever been with a man. He says, how can this be? I'm an old man. What's the difference in those two?
She doesn't believe it can happen.
Well, no. But they both have said, this isn't.
She had a potential to be pregnant.
What she said, well, no.
No.
I think.
She didn't have the potential to be pregnant either.
No, she didn't. No.
She did not. She had never been with a man. She was a virgin. She was a virgin. She was a virgin. That's important. We're going to talk about that later. But hers was impossible.
Yeah.
His was unlikely. And there was no room. They knew who had had a baby before in their old age.
Abraham.
He should have remembered.
It's a part of Sunday school. He's had it in Sunday school his whole 50 years or whatever, and he forgot that people can have a child in their old age. He just, you know, but for his was faithlessness. Mary's is not, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But that can't happen. I'm an old man. My wife's well advanced in years. Verse 19 right there. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel.
Yes.
There's only two angels whose names are mentioned in the Bible. And this is one of them. He goes, I am Gabriel. And it was probably loud and booming and sounded like an echo, like Saturday Night Wrestling. Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. I'm not happy right now. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Whoa, this is a lot different from Mary's experience that we'll look at later.
They had the same question too.
What?
And they had the same question.
Essentially, yeah. Well, but Mary said that's impossible. How is this possible?
Yeah.
And he said, you know, this is very unlikely. I mean, essentially.
So he was bitter because of not having.
Yeah, probably, possibly it could have been bitter. I don't know. I'm not going to lay that on him for sure.
He believed an angel. He didn't believe the word, but you think that an angel standing there.
Yeah, the angel said it's going to be.
I think it was the attitude. Jen said it in a note. What? Attitude of her heart was different.
Yes.
She wasn't saying.
Sure, absolutely.
No, it can't happen. She was just saying.
She just said, how can this be?
How?
That's a lot different.
Yeah.
Because one of them is, I'm open to hearing. Just tell me how this is going to work. That's a lot different. That's good. That's very good. But his was essentially faithless, or at the best, it's a very weak faith. He may have loved God, but how many times do we get to that point where we go, God hasn't shown up for me, and I just don't know. Maybe it's something I'm doing wrong or whatever, but I just can't believe for that.
And he could have been over 50 because I just looked it up.
Okay.
To do the priesthood, especially the sacrifices, 25 to 50, because you needed to move some weight.
Yeah, yeah.
But after that, you could assist in services like this after 50. So he could have been 70, 80.
Yeah, it wasn't a taxing job.
Yeah.
But, yeah, cutting up an animal, that's a big deal. I can tell you for sure. I've done it. But he says, you'll be mute, unable to speak. That was a punishment, but it was also
a blessing.
How is it a blessing?
Because he couldn't speak against it.
And why is that a blessing? You're right. It is a blessing. But why? It offered them an opportunity that was very helpful for them going forward. And what they were going to do that, well, okay.
The walls of Jericho came down when they were silent.
Well,
yeah, keep your mouth shut.
I'm thinking about this. If they haven't had a baby for all these years, and then, I mean, I hope this isn't offensive to anybody. And the wife comes up pregnant.
Yeah. Talk.
It was food for gossip.
Yeah.
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 I wonder how they made that. Did they go steal a baby? Did she shack up with somebody else? Sorry, I don't mean to offend. But I mean, that's how people talk.
Yes.
People tell stories. And really, their experience saved them from the stories. Because what is their experience was, he can't talk all this time. They don't know what's happened. But he can't tell. He can't even tell them. He, you know, signals. He writes stuff down. We know that he wrote stuff down because in a few minutes, we're going to see. We're not going to in a few minutes because we're going to have to stop. He communicates to him somehow, but people knew that something had happened. And then she turned up pregnant, and they put those two things together. Well, maybe the stories they're telling could be true instead of making up other stories that fit their normal experience. So really, it was kind of a blessing in disguise, Jimmy. I agree with you. Because whatever happened to him was not temporary. His inability to speak lasted the full 9 months.
And what he said to the angel.
To what?
What he said to the angel. That tells you right there, you need to keep your mouth shut.
Where should I know this? How should I know
There's
this?
Times when it...
Where's your sign? Yeah. Shut up.
and Mary's was... Yeah, the unique circumstances of their experience, I think, stopped the gossip. The same gossip that followed Jesus around his whole life. So it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. After those days, she wasn't already pregnant by some weird thing. It happened in the normal, natural way. And just happened to old people, which can happen too. Right, Pam?
Yeah.
She conceived and she hid herself 5 months. She hid herself for 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people." Why would she wait 5 months?
Wasn't that the custom to do that?
Well, they kind of stayed in. Well, even up into the Victorian age, they kind of hid out almost the entire pregnancy. Not like now where you got, I mean,
pictures of your belly and everything.
Well, yeah.
Baby bull.
Jimmy. Tell us how you really feel about it, Jimmy.
I mean, inquiring minds want to know.
We got a doctor friend. She thinks that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I do too.
I think it's beautiful.
I'm sorry.
It shows the whole world.
Why not? I think it's a beautiful, awesome thing. I mean, we're used to it and all over the place. Well, and some of us are from the days when it was a little more hidden. You know, mom would be at home smoking a cigarette for the whole 9 months and not, and, you know, didn't go out. And they were drinking still. I mean, that when I was born, that's how things were still going. Coffee and booze and all that kind of stuff. It was, that's the way it went back then. But they stayed, they were a little bit quieter.
Well, I wore dresses that covered my belly.
And tried to hide it, basically.
Yeah.
And now you've got them wearing tight things, and I think, why not?
Well, I don't think you should hide it. It's not it's embarrassing that you're pregnant.
Yeah, it's there's too many things that we've worried that
we. Well, it was the style, too. It wasn't, it was a different day.
Well, different because time. In the 1700s, nobody hid it.
Yeah.
The style now.
Everybody knew, and women breastfed their babies wherever,
well,
you know, it just, none of it was, none of it was hidden. And I don't think we should hide any of it anymore. We got into a weird state because of that, but I'm not sorry. That's another lecture. I'm sorry.
And back to
he took away my reproach among the people, but, she did hide out whether it was the custom or not. She did hide out. And, her cousin is going to come visit her in the next passage, which we'll start with next week. So sorry that we didn't get all the way through. We still got almost a chapter, 25 verses with lots of talking, which I enjoy. So we'll stop right here.
Hold that hammer up. We'll be back there.
Okay. Let me pray for us. Anybody have a comment or anything else? It's 7:30. All right, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these people and our cooperative learning tonight. I pray that each one will be blessed, not only for having heard a word tonight, but also just for being here and being in fellowship. And I pray that right now you'll put on our hearts one of the people, at least one person on this list that we're praying for, that you'll just bless us with remembering that person throughout this week and lift them up to you in intercessory prayer. Bless us as we go from here. Give us an opportunity to be Jesus and show us that opportunity. In his name, amen.